Welcome back to the Gary Sharp Show. I am your host, Robbie Lula. George is telling me about how horribly he shattered his elbow. But we have better things to talk about right now with our guy, Mike Sauter of the Omaha World Herald. Mike, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, you know, just filling in. I've heard this guy, Gary Sharp, usually hosts the show, but I've never seen him, so I don't know.
That guy is always gone.
he's a busy man, you know. Hey, he's out there grinding or something. I appreciate that.
I would love his airline miles.
Well, he's traveling with UNO. I'm pretty sure those are bus miles.
Not to Arizona.
Well, no, not to Arizona. You're right. That's once they get in conference. Once they're in that Summit League, there's a lot of bus miles.
Right.
So I wanted to get just, you know, the high school basketball season's underway. You know more about high school basketball than anybody I know, so I wanted to get in here and talk to you, mostly because for once it seems like my Millard North Mustangs are actually going to be good at basketball. And if they're not, there's a problem because they've got at least three D1 guys on that roster. Just on pure talent, is there anyone in the state that is comparable to Millard North right now?
I think Millard North is definitely at the top of that heap, if you will. You know, it's not every day. It's never happened where you have Nebraska that have power conference offers. And Hunter Salas obviously has Kansas and Creighton and Oregon and all those other places, Nebraska, Iowa State. And then Max Morrell committed to Stanford or signed with Stanford. And then Jason Green's kind of the forgotten guy a little bit, which
sure.
is weird because he's really good. And he is just a sophomore and has an offer from Nebraska. Not only those guys, you throw in a guy like Tyler Sandoval has a Division II offer right now, and he's like coming off the bench for them.
that must be nice.
Yeah, Jaden Johnson is a guy that, you know, transferred over from AL in Council Bluffs that he's got some Division I interest and he's kind of a pass first guy. Man, his feel for the game is really, really good. And Noah Erickson, 6'6", he's got a Wayne State offer as well. And St. Thomas has kind of filled that fifth starter role, and he just kind of started coming along at the end of the summer last year, or this year. And he's their fifth starter. So you have two guys coming off the bench in Noah Erickson and Tyler Sandoval that have Division II basketball. So, no, to answer your question, no, no one has that much talent.
So I want to talk about Hunter Salas here for a minute. Is this going to be one of those situations by the time this is all said and done where – he's basically going to have his pick of wherever he wants to go in the country?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably fair. When Kansas offers you and you're going to Colorado Springs as one of only 80 guys in the country in every class, every recruiting class, that to me, you're a top 20-ish player in your class in the country. And it's only a matter of time, I think, before other people start sniffing. I know they're already sniffing around. You know, your UCLA's, Louisville is the number one ranked team in the country right now, and they're calling. So I think it's only a matter of time before he's going to have his decision on where he's going to be able to say, I want to go there. And they're going to probably say, yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Where does he rate in terms of prospects that you've evaluated in the state of Nebraska? Not just this year, but kind of during your time doing this.
Yeah. He's definitely up there, if not the best. I mean, I've been, 10 years-ish right now.
Is it between, like, him and Patton? Is that the battle?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, yeah. Because Justin, if you look at the national ratings, Justin has been the highest rated player since 2000 when player ratings were a thing on a national level. He's been the highest rated player to ever come out of Nebraska as far as, you know, national player rankings are concerned. So, yeah, him or Justin. And he's probably going to end up being, Justin ended up, what, was he 49th?
Yeah, he was just inside the top 50, I believe.
Yeah, so Justin's at 49. I think Hunter's probably going to end up being a top 25-ish guy. So, yeah, he's, as far as a prospect, he's it. That's more than fair to say.
So last question on Hunter Salas, and we'll get to more high school basketball in general. The recruitment obviously has taken off in a way that it never really did for Justin Patton, mostly because he committed to Creighton basically immediately.
Yeah.
What are the chances that one of these hometown teams, whether it's Creighton or Nebraska, have of landing Hunter Salas when he's got interest from basically everybody in the country?
They're getting slimmer by the day. I would say it's not looking great right now.
Is there a reason for that?
I think it's just something where I'm not sure he really necessarily, the whole like staying home thing. I don't know if he really concerns himself too much with that.
Sure.
His concern is, how can I get to the NBA?
Which, if you're a top 25 player in your class, that should be your concern, right?
Yeah, right, correct. So, I mean, I think it's moving away from him being closer, it's moving away from him staying, let's say, Nebraska or Creighton, moving away from that pretty much every day. I do know this. I know as far as Nebraska is concerned, and I'm pretty sure Creighton, he's their number one target in the next couple of classes, not just in 2021.
Sure. Well, that makes sense. Speaking of Creighton and Nebraska, Creighton's really had the advantage in terms of getting the best players from the state. Has the hiring of Hoiberg felt like there's been at least starting to shift in terms of the way prospects are viewing the two schools?
I don't think so. They got a couple of walk-on guys, and then they had a rope was already signed, and they honored that, and they're honoring the commitment of Donovan Williams at Nebraska. I don't think that's really changed a lot, and I'm not sure as far as a recruiting perspective that Nebraska is going to dig that deep in state. I know the only two players they're recruiting right now are Jason Green and Hunter Salas from an in-state perspective. And that's probably about right.
Sure.
I don't know if that has changed it. Now, once Nebraska starts winning, I think that's likely to probably pick it up a notch. They just, having a pretty tough year right now.
Is that just because they'll be able to take some chances on some guys?
Right. That's kind of what Miles started to do a little bit at the end of his career. Like, won a little bit, felt comfortable enough to take a couple, chances, like you said. So, I think eventually, they'll probably get to that level. I mean, let's face it, Fred Hoiberg didn't come here, and his staff didn't come here to continue the same way that Nebraska was recruiting players.
Sure.
For the last 20 years. It's totally flipping. So a lot of transfer guys, they're going after bigger names. They're offering a ton of guys. It feels like football.
Sure.
And that's fine if that's, it's worked for them before. So why not do it again, I guess?
We're talking to Mike Satter of the Omaha World Herald. So it feels like in the last few years, there's been a pretty decent uptick in major Division I talent in the state. First of all, is my perception of that correct? And secondly, is there a reason you can think of for that increase?
Yeah, your perception of that is very much so correct. The 2016 class, which now we're 4 years removed from that, only had one Division I player. That was Tristan Simpson, that went to South Dakota.
Okay.
He's now a senior at South Dakota. There was one guy. And then every year since then, there's been, on average, about six. So that's pretty awesome, right?
Sure,
that's,
yeah.
That's pretty good for a state, the population that we have and all that. Last year there was nine. And this year, you know, and I guess this year, 2020, we'll have five, six. I will say before 2016, so from 2010 to 16, the average was 3.2. So the numbers are trending up.
Sure, yeah.
And I believe a reason for that is a couple of things. One is the Sudanese population had certainly helped. It's kind of falling a little bit as far as high-level talent, but they're still good players, right?
Sure, yeah.
That's one. Two, just the explosion of your OSAs and just a lot of gym space and gyms to play in, right? We never really had that before, and kids are playing year-round now at a young age, meaning, you know, you go to any one of the facilities across the river to the field house or out to OSA or to even the Lincoln has a place now, and, like, you go to any of those on a weekend, and it's packed with
right.
people and kids playing basketball. That never really was the case as much, right? It's always there, but not as much. So I think that's helped. I also think the AAU, the level of play and kids playing at higher levels has certainly helped as well. That just more exposure that way versus, you know, you have an Adidas team now. Then you have an Under Armour kind of team on that second level. Those are things that never had happened before. So
right.
those are a couple of different reasons. And frankly, social media has certainly helped. I think that absolutely helps. I mean,
in what sense?
My job. So, but I think that's helped kind of spread the word too.
All right, Mike, we'll get you out of here on this. Obviously, Sharif Mitchell, Omaha kid, has been contributing early in his Creighton career. When you were evaluating him in high school and kind of as you see him now, what do you see his ceiling at as a player at this level?
Ooh, good question. I love Sharif Mitchell. That guy can really guard. And ceiling is Khyri Thomas. Is that fair? Like,
that's a good ceiling.
not as big, you know.
Sure.
I mean, physical stature, but, like, you know, as a player, they're pretty good defenders and quick, twitchy, and all of that. Khyri obviously wasn't a point guard, but I think that, you know, there's some similarities I think you can see there.
So point guard version of Khyri.
Yeah, point guard version of Khyri, I think, would be a ceiling. That's a pretty good ceiling.
I'll say that's definitely not a bad ceiling. He's a little better finisher around the rim than Khyri was, at least at this stage, isn't he?
Right, yeah.
I mean, he's kind of got that supernatural ability to just kind of know what kind of spin to put on the ball, that type of thing.
Yeah, and the physical, you know, that year at prep school and gaining that weight certainly helped him too.
For sure, without a doubt, just as it helped Khyri Thomas. Mike, thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully I'll get to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, man, no problem.
I appreciate it. That is our friend Mike Sauder from the Omaha World Herald. We're going to take a break on the other side. George and I will get into a little more high school basketball and discuss some of the things he was talking to Verz about yesterday and some of the things that our guy Mike was just talking about there. You're listening to The Gary Sharp Show here on 1620 The Zone.